broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for October the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration, and the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, it's Halloween tonight. Let me just explain it like this. Flat out not interested in the satanic holiday, ladies and gentlemen. Reject it. Do good things. Spend time with your family and stay out of the way. As in my opinion, evil rages. You can pray and have wonderful family time and offset the holiday with God, family, and country. How do you like that? All right, we don't have time to do the recap of yesterday's show. We'll do that at the end of the hour if we have time and or next hour. But we have an incredible guest, Patricia Kent. She's the founder and board member of Liberty Action Coalition. It's libertyactioncoalition.us. She also has another website, libertyguardians.us. Incredible interview starts now. Along my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman, live on your radio. People are speaking at the WeCanAct.net conference. Vendors are vending, and I'm broadcasting live. Patricia Kent with me, ladies and gentlemen. She's founder and board member of the Liberty Coalition. Welcome to the broadcast. Tell me about the Action Liberty Coalition.
Okay, it's actually called the Liberty Action Coalition.
Liberty Action Coalition, all right.
We put that word action in because the time for complaining is over.
Okay, now so we got to take action.
Now the time is to take action.
Okay.
So we organized to help fight against the tyranny that is going on in our country. And we believe, one of my main mottos is educate to liberate. So our big thing is to educate people on what's going on and then give them something to do. I had so many people asking me, well, just tell us how we can get involved. Tell us what to do. And so we decided that we needed to educate people on what's going on and then give them those options to know how to contact their legislators or get involved in their city government and to let their voices be heard as we the people. One of the other things that we really stress is for people to study the Constitution. We actually teach five lessons called the five steps to restoring the Constitution. So it's an all-encompassing organization. It was originally set up to be an umbrella organization for other like-minded organizations. And so just this last couple of weeks, I put out a new website called libertyguardians.us. And on that, you can go to the affiliates and you will find groups that are like-minded. You hit the button of the name of that group and it will take you directly to their website and their Facebook. And our goal eventually is to have all of the groups all over, and especially in Utah, we're going to have them by county. So you can go to hit the button on Cache County and it'll have every patriotic group in Cache County that is meeting. It'll have their activities so that you can get involved in those activities.
And that'll be at libertyguardians.us?
Yes.
Or libertyguardians.us?
Correct.
And the idea is to act as a clearinghouse, right?
Right.
All right. Tell me about the organization taking action then. We're talking about peaceful action, right?
Okay. So we have three main areas that we look at. One is education. And every month we have a big meeting with all of our group to educate them on the issues, update them on the things that we've been doing and that are working. We have an election committee. That election committee started in January vetting every candidate running for mayor and city council in Washington County. We chose those that were constitutionally minded and would listen to we the people. And we have then since helped fund them. We have gone, for the last 3 weeks, we've been going door to door, handing out literature, holding meet and greets. We need to make sure that we are electing honest, liberty-minded people to our city councils.
And most of these are not partisan positions, right?
Absolutely not. And this is not a partisan organization. We have people from no party, unaffiliated to every party.
All right. And what can people do to be the most helpful?
I think the thing that people need to do most is be proactive in contacting their local leaders and voicing their opinions as to what needs to take place on the issues. I think locally, statewide, and nationally, we need to be contacting our elected officials and letting them know when we see them doing things that are unconstitutional, that we expect them to live up to the oath of office that they have taken.
I think it's important. I saw an article in the news talking about you guys elected, or I guess you guys endorsed, three candidates from Washington County down in St. George, Utah area, that are basically running for the school board or whatever. The idea is, hey, they were against masks, right?
Correct.
And so the idea here, ladies and gentlemen, is to pick key clutch issues and stand for the right candidates doing the right thing in all cases. Doesn't matter what they're from or what the key is to understand the principles, right?
Exactly.
Where do we go from here in terms of the ability to make a difference, to get it? Is it just going to be Utah, or is it eventually going to be other states duplicated? What's the plan?
It's going to be everybody. Right now, in fact, yesterday, I had a lady from Texas ask me if I would come to Texas and help them organize their group in their state like we have done here in Utah. I had another lady from Boise, Idaho, ask me if I would come to Boise and do the same thing up there. So I have actually worked with people in Nevada, Arizona, Wyoming, Idaho, Utah. I had a phone call from New York. We've done Montana. This is nationwide. This is not a party issue. This is an American, we the people issue. And the more we can unite all of like-minded people, the more we can take back the freedom that we hold so dear in this country.
How do people join?
They can go to libertyactioncoalition@gmail.com, or they can go to our website, libertyactioncoalition.us, and there are ways to join right there.
And is it a money join, or is it a volunteer join? What kind of join are we talking about?
We're talking anybody can join. It doesn't cost you anything.
Okay. How big is the organization, and what do we need to do to make it grow?
Right now, just our local organization, we have close to 4,000 people that are supporting and following us. When we combine that with all the other groups that have come on board, we're looking at over 100,000 people.
And when we talk about groups that come on board, those are the groups that will be eventually listed.
Correct.
At the other site. How do the two sites work together? Help me understand that.
So basically, Liberty Action Coalition is our own little group, but we have taken it upon ourselves to put all the groups together in one place, and that's libertyguardians.us, so that we can all unite in what we're doing. A good example of that is 2 weeks ago we planned a rally in front of our local hospitals, IHC, and Cedar City Group heard about it, and they said, then we're going to do that on the same day at the same time. And we blasted that out to the other organizations that we're affiliated with, and they said, good, then we'll do the same thing all over. And so instead of just having the 100 people that we had in St. George at our IHC, over the entire state in front of the hospitals, we had well over 1,000 people. That makes a big statement to our elected officials. The more numbers you have, the more our elected officials have to look at, this is we the people, and we make a difference.
Well, and the big thing with that is not only are you getting a lot of people involved through those joint organizations that are willing to collaborate and work together, one of the other things you're doing is making sure that we don't have conflicting events, too.
Exactly.
That's important, right?
Right, and that's one of the reasons we decided we really needed to unite. And so on this website, we will have calendars with the events all over, because lots of times I see events that are going on up north that I would really like to be to, but we've got an event in the southern end of the state. And so we're trying to bring those together so that we can support each other. And Liberty Action Coalition, the members, we actually encourage them not to just help the other organizations, but to join as a member of the other organization so that they're getting information on everything. That's pretty hard to do because I have so many emails and things coming, sometimes I miss things.
Yeah, believe it or not, WeCanAct.net got that done. Think how many organizations are here supporting one huge Utah inaugural event, right?
Exactly. It's awesome to be here.
We appreciate you. We appreciate the organization that you founded. And all we say is God bless you. March on. You got our support.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Patricia Kent, founder and board member, Liberty Action Coalition, libertyactioncoalition.net. And then the other site that they're now just launched, libertyguardians.net.
That's .us.
.us for that one. All right. Both of them are .us, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why I can't get this all right. There's just so many different domains going on, I guess, is a part of the issue. You want to basically educate to liberate, and that's what we can all do together.
Correct. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks. Patricia Kent, this is Liberty Roundtable Live. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Great interviews continuing from the incredible WeCanAct.net conference. Our next guest, Seth Keschel. He's a strategic analyst with the America Project, powering the people to save America. You got to dig it, right? Seth starts now. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live at WeCanAct.net conference. Incredible event. It's a huge hall. The seats are packed. The floor with vendors has got a lot of people as well, ladies and gentlemen. Our next guest, Seth Keschel, is with us. He's a strategic analyst with the America Project, AmericaProject.com. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Hey, Sam, how are you? I appreciate you having me on.
I'm doing fantastic. Tell me about your involvement as strategic analyst. Do you dig into the what makes America tick stuff?
Yeah, I got into the fight, so to speak, shortly after the election last November. Within a couple of weeks, I'd met General Flynn, and I became part of his working team challenging the election fraud cases. And I've fallen in with a ton of organizations that have employed my skills, namely in analytics regarding the 2020 election and also future planning to prevent such an election crisis in the future.
Interestingly enough, my son is in the analytics world for corporations.
Analytics that kind of run together, but of course they have different stripes depending on what the topic is. My background is one that involves baseball analytics. Of course, baseball is an extremely analytical game these days.
Yeah, he did basketball analytics is where he got started.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and of course, you know, people can overthink things and analytics becomes the entire game, which isn't really what we want. But all those abilities to understand numbers and trends has played into what I do now politically.
Let's talk about the election fraud stuff for a minute. You know, there's been so much credible evidence coming out literally everywhere if you pay attention. Now, I know the mainstream press denies and is dishonest about it, but the truth is there is election fraud. There's so many numbers and statistics and evidential realities that point to this. What about the MyPillow guy stuff? You know, he got kind of burned when he had his big old event, but there was more substance than he got credit for, right?
Well, he's getting ready to make a few Supreme Court cases. Now, as far as my personal involvement in that, I had nothing to do with gathering these packet captures.
Okay.
And my understanding is that they are not able to be fully released due to some serious issues that are not really able to be expressed right now. Now, my understanding of the election numbers is more based on registration data, population growth, and most importantly, voter behavior. So we're looking at trends. Utah has trends.
Primarily Republican trends, right?
They are. The state is becoming more and more Republican in registration, yet somehow the margin for Trump became very small compared to previous elections in Utah in 2020. Now, you had that large third-party vote in 2016, which came back, and it was almost all Republican third-party vote in 2016. came back for Trump in 2020. So Trump was over 120,000 votes above Romney. So he absolutely performed at a standard Republican output here. Yet somehow Biden in the same election gained a vote gain nearly triple what the previous Democrat record was, which in a few counties very concerning, especially Salt Lake County and Utah County.
I submit new mail-in balloting across the state had a hand in that, huh?
Mail-in voting entrenched at the state level is a catastrophe, and the only state that has mass mail-in voting that is still a Republican state is Utah, and it just trended very heavily towards the Democrats in this election.
Because there's no real custody of the ballots is the problem with the mail-in voting. On one hand, no custody of ballots. On the other hand, the idea that we're going to send blanket ballots to everybody is just asking for disaster, isn't it?
Especially if you have dirty voter rolls. So you can see the voter rolls I've released on my Telegram channel in Pennsylvania. They have voters that have been deceased for many decades, voters born in the 1880s, addresses that don't exist. So when everyone on the roll is allowed to get a mail-in ballot, then you have a recipe for hundreds of thousands, if not millions, if you're talking to like a state like California, of fraudulent mail ballots. So much so that other countries like France have banned mail-in balloting because it's a serious source of fraud.
Mail-in balloting is one of the problems. Some of the other problems have to do with, as far as we understand, batches of ballots were literally brought in that are folded identical, that have duplicated information on it. It seems like nobody did it individually. It was more of a kind of a carbon copy discussion. Did that play in?
You have all kinds of issues like that. You see in Maricopa County's report from the Senate audit. Keep in mind, people that say Maricopa County's audit was underwhelming, there were 5 months that passed from the time of the election ending to the beginning of the audit in which the ballots physically could be manipulated or swapped or filled in, and the cyber materials of the audit could be manipulated, and the audit report confirmed that both of those things happened. So even with manipulation of the audit materials, the results still showed substantial fraud, over 74,000 votes just between what Doug Logan and Dr. Shiva put out, but then 255,000 mismatched between voter files, and then 200,000 plus deleted ballot images, which is a violation of federal law. Some of the other stuff that's going to come out from Joe Von Pulitzer, you'll see other issues. I don't know if I can put those out there just yet, but they involve exactly what you're talking about, mismanagement of the actual paper ballots.
So, you know, back in the Nixon days, it was like, one, hey, they broke in, that's bad enough, but it was the cover-up that kind of took them down, right? Is that what's going to happen here?
One would hope. I'm very confident that history is going to recognize the Biden administration is illegitimately elected.
What do you think is going to happen? At this point, I mean, by the time we really get to the bottom of it, since they have literally at the court levels said you don't have standing, not even giving the real issues a fair, just hearing, no evidence really delivered. They're just simply dismissing cases left and right. It might be a whodunit too late, though, thing, right?
It depends what your version of too late means, because some people's attitude towards fixing the 2020 election or revealing the truth of the 2020 election only goes as far as, is Donald Trump going to become president this term?
No, mine is, are we going to prosecute people for criminal activity, number one? Are we going
to
solve it going forward to where we can gain the trust back for the American people, right?
Well, that's the only thing. And I think history's never afforded a spotlight like it has to anyone else other than Mark Brnovich, as you see right now, the Attorney General of Arizona. He's been given a golden opportunity to be a hero and do the right thing in the halls of justice, so to speak. And he is the guy that's going to have to crack some skulls in Maricopa County. And now you also see there's a lot of pressure ratcheting up on Pima County, which is Tucson.
Yes.
Lots of problems there revealed in the mail balloting last week by President Trump, by Kelly Ward, and by others. I've seen Pima County as a very fraudulent county since the get-go, at least 35,000 fake votes cast there for Biden.
Do you think the governor will double down and deliver, or do you think he'll wimp out?
No, the governor's going to wimp out. The governor doesn't have a spine. Doug Ducey is a big imposter, a complete fraud. He's somebody who absolutely has zero principles, zero values, doesn't stand for anything except the big donors that put him in office.
I'm a big advocate of the county sheriff. I'm the operations manager for Sheriff Richard Mack and the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Do you think the sheriffs can create accountability here?
Probably not, no. Most of the massive fraud is committed in counties where they've engineered the sheriff's positions to be people that are going to preserve this kind of fraud rather than expose it.
How do you think we're going to really then going forward? It's one thing to create accountability for what's already done. The more important thing in my mind, though, is going forward saying we've got to somehow right this boat or we'll never have America again.
I agree with that. But you see the mainstream media out there blocking and tackling. You have 55 to 60% of the country that realizes the election was rigged.
Yes.
You have 30% that never will. So you have 10 to 15% of the population that can still be persuaded. So if you're going to preach to the choir, like at a conference like this, then it needs to be driving people towards action, which I will tonight when I speak at 7 o'clock. But, you know, you may be facing a scenario which is the end of the republic. If people are not going to fix these issues, you know, you're not going to have 55 to 60% of the country believe the elections are rigged and have the country continue on indefinitely as is.
Do you think we can, as we create accountability and transparency here, do you think it can be done peacefully, or will they just flat out take us to war?
I know we want to
be peaceful, but I'm just telling you right now, these people are nuts on parade, and
they're waiting on people to call for violence. It's something that historically, when the government breaks down, has no trust of the people, you have massive unrest. So I would not be surprised, obviously. You know, if you see this continue on, look at the California recall. The California recall was rigged as well. I'm not saying that Newsom would not have won, but you also can't, if you're the Democratic machine, you can't allow Newsom to win that race by 4 or 5 points, because then people are going to say, hey, what the heck has California been a 30-point Democrat state for all these years? So you have to keep up the appearances. Now, yeah, a breakdown of the election system, a breakdown of the government is going to bring in consequences that no one wants to see.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not calling for that violence. But I'm also not stupid enough to pretend that we're not getting close to that kind of a abuse of the people. Look what happens when you defy, I'm not going to wear a mask. They literally beat you up and arrest you now. Or if you won't take the vaccines, you simply lose your job. They trash your bread bowl and you can't make a living anymore. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about, to where, what will their next step be? To use climate change to lock us all down, to lock down our financial means and our wherewithal? You know, what I mean is they'll take it to the next level. We've seen it already. And so I'm not promoting this. But I am saying we see the writing on the wall.
Sure. I think in a way you can't look at these situations. You can look at those one of two ways. You can look at them negatively and dread them coming, or you can see them as something that's going to create so much angst, so many problems, that it's going to wake people up. So since the election fraud, I've met so many people who've always been conservative. We voted for Trump twice, but we didn't wake up until 11-3. So you want to wake people up, even though it's a short-term pain period. If they start implementing all those measures, you know, vaccine mandates to fly, vaccine mandates to cross state lines, you are going to have a wall of people that you've never seen before become involved in fighting back this stuff. And it absolutely has to happen. We could have had 4 more years of Trump, and they could have surrounded him with the bad advisors that he had. They could have surrounded him with Democrats in both houses, and we would have wound up 4 years from now with a Democrat president at the same rate we're going, right? So now we've had this stolen election, and the way to frame that positively is now you have all these people. I almost feel crazy. It's 11 months after the election, and we're here at conferences still talking about 2020 election stats, which means this issue has not gone away. It's not going away. It's actually getting bigger.
So I've been doing radio for over 25 years. It's the 25th year celebration this year of my nationally syndicated radio show. The reason that I'm bringing that up is I've been at this for a long time, and I've seen more people advocate for liberty in the last 3 to 5 years than I saw in the first 20. So no doubt we're gaining on it. No doubt people are waking up. No doubt people are going to start to take action. I pray for peaceful action. I'm the guy that runs around and says, let's have a restoration, not a revolution. So I get the peaceful attempt, and we follow the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. So I understand all that. At the same time, I have a little bit of fear that we need to educate the people so they know what not to do as much as what to do, right?
You always want to hope for the least painful path of resolution possible. Of course, you say restoration. And you do have more people involved than you've ever seen before, and that's because circumstances are worse than they've ever been before. And that's a hard thing to say. One of the issues our country faces, I like to call affluenza, where everybody's so comfortable. Everybody's got their organizations. You have your softball games. You have your churches. You have your memberships. You have your clubs. And then...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, quick pause on your radio. We're in these incredible interviews. It's just amazing, the guests that were at this incredible Weekend Act conference, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking right now to Seth Keschel. He's a strategic analyst, America Project, ladies and gentlemen, building and supporting empowerment network of businesses and individuals. AmericaProject.com in seconds continues.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
The investigation into former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo leads to a criminal charge, forcible touching, a misdemeanor. This coming after investigators poured over hundreds, maybe thousands of documents. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple explains why they settled on this charge.
We didn't want to muddy the waters and throw a bunch of charges out there and see which one sticks. This charge fits the allegation, and it fits the evidence that was obtained by our criminal investigators.
Cuomo due in court November 17th. The University of Southern California admits Friday it mishandled sexual assault allegations against a fraternity. USC's president saying Friday she knew last month of at least five allegations of drugging and sexual assault at Sigma Nu, but those allegations just coming to light in recent days. The Northern Lights may be visible in parts of the continental U.S. this weekend. The U.S.-based Weather Prediction Center says the aurora borealis may be visible Saturday night in the far northeast, upper Midwest, and Washington State. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio is looking for a co-host. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nationally syndicated radio show and popular podcast, Rockstar Radio with Billy Gerard, is looking for a co-host. In fact, two segment co-hosts. One will join Billy weekly talking about all things financial, and another for a weekly review of the national real estate and mortgage market. Co-hosting with Billy Gerard could be the move that puts your career into overdrive. For all the details and to schedule an audition with Billy, send an email to bill@rockstar.today. That's bill@rockstar.today. Or go to rockstar.today/co-host for all the details. Rockstar Radio is looking for two expert co-hosts. It could be you. Email bill@rockstar.today or go to rockstar.today/co-host. Being on the radio with Billy will make you the expert in the field. It could take your career over the moon. Get all the audition details at rockstar.today/co-host.
Parents may soon have the option of getting their young children vaccinated. The FDA on Friday issues emergency use authorization for Pfizer's vaccine for kids 5 to 11. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona on ABC News.
We know vaccines work. It's the best strategy we have battling COVID-19. And I encourage, when you're eligible, to get vaccinated and breathe a little bit easier, not just because you're vaccinated, but because you know you're protecting those around you.
Pfizer says the vaccine is 90% effective at preventing symptomatic infection. The vaccine still needs CDC approval before shots can be administered. The CDC advisory panel meets Monday. World leaders find something to agree on. At the G20 summit in Rome Saturday, they endorse a global minimum corporate tax of 15%. The White House calls the agreement historic. An administration official tells CNN this will reshape the rules of the global economy. Formal approval expected Sunday. The Atlanta Braves take a 2-1 lead in the World Series to beat the Houston Astros 2-0 Friday night at home. Game 4 Saturday night in Atlanta. This is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. Hope you're all doing fantastic. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always when we're on your radio. Seth Keschel with us, strategic analyst. It's the America Project, building a support and empowerment network of and for pro-freedom organizations, businesses, and individuals. Powering the people to save America. AmericaProject.com interview continues.
You have your clubs, and then only then when you see issues. Look at Michigan last spring when Whitmer locked the whole state down. People took the 2 weeks off saying, hey, we're going to help stop the spread, and then everyone was laid off, these working class communities. That is when you saw some serious, scary stuff in action at the Capitol. So the reason people are more involved is because they sense that the noose is tightening, so to speak, on liberty. And when circumstances, it's going to get worse. You know, when the inflation hits and when the economic indicators become worse, when the consequences become worse, you're going to have more and more people stand up because they won't have anywhere else to go.
What's the title of your speech at 7 o'clock tonight?
It's Behind the Election Corruption Curtain, and I'm focusing on Colorado and Utah, but I should have titled it A Million Ways to Defraud the West.
Yeah, we also need to entitle it somehow that we can resolve this crisis, though. You know what? Americans have been behind the eight ball on a lot of things over the centuries that America's been in existence. I know it's a young republic, but we've been through a lot. We can handle this if we all get together, can't we?
Yeah, I would agree with that. But we need to also we have to take action no matter what. You know, some people's appetite only goes as far as, is Trump going to be president, yes or no? But if we do the action and we truly believe in the faith that we believe in, if we believe in the things we believe in, then we are not going to please God without action. So faith requires us to act. So my hope is in that God sees our efforts and God will expose our government's corruption, and he will restore us in places where it can be restored to a republic that enjoys liberty.
Well, he will do that if we turn to him. He's promised us biblically that if we turn to him and repent and keep his commandments, he will heal our land and he will protect us.
But it doesn't mean it's going to be pain-free or easy.
Doesn't mean pain-free, doesn't mean easy. It does mean it's doable if you're on the right side.
I agree with that.
All right, sir, we appreciate you. Any final shot?
No, I appreciate you, Sam. I want to encourage everybody to be involved, to pick an issue they care about. There's nothing but issues being presented today. Pro-life issues, pro-freedom issues, anti-medical tyranny, elections. There's something for everybody, and there is no more time. It is a late hour. You cannot be sitting on the couch right now doing nothing. There is not an option.
Ladies and gentlemen, Seth Keschel, Strategic Analyst, America Project, americaproject.com to learn more. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Wow, and the hard-hitting interviews just continue from the Week in ACT conference. There was so many great speakers, so many great vendors, so many great people running around with books and just tremendous stuff. We went from Patricia Kent to Seth Keschel, now David Clements. Yeah, the professor's record, don't lie. The election was stolen, he says. Don't lie. The election was stolen. Theprofessorsrecord.com certainly sets the record straight. The interview starts now. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Live interviews continue. Week in ACT conference. Incredible speakers, incredible vendors, incredible people everywhere. It's been a sight to behold. The inaugural, I'm calling it the Liberty 21 conference, right here in the Salt Palace, Salt Lake City, Utah. Weekinact.net if you want to get tickets to the archives. Really, the streaming archives are the best way to get the speakers. You won't be able to personally enjoy all the interaction going on the floor with the vendors and the people and just the rubbing the shoulders and the making friends and developing relationships and more. But you will be able to see the speakers at weekinact.net. Our next guest, David Clements. Dr. David Clements is a professor, and he's got theprofessorsrecord.com as his website, theprofessorsrecord.com. And you really hit hard exposing election fraud, huh, sir?
Yeah, well, I wasn't intending to do that, but I, as a former law professor, I saw what everyone else saw on November 3rd, that people went to bed thinking that that Donald Trump was going to be the president. I was one of those folks, and then what we saw was a massive cover-up and a propaganda push telling everyone that this was the safest and most secure election in history. And since I used to be a prosecutor, I liked looking at evidence, and I through my own journey, found out that we had massive, massive fraud. And so my journey has evolved from looking at the cases that were filed by Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, and many others.
Heroes, I might add.
I agree with you. To now setting up forensic audit channels in every state. And so we've been trying to get full forensic audits and canvases done so we can reclaim confidence in our elections.
You know, we've known about election fraud. They keep denying it. The courts simply jettison the discussion before it ever even gets started. They don't even evaluate the evidence or anything else. At some point, I think some of these top attorneys in the country and some of these bar associations and everything else, when they won't even consider the evidence and there's no opportunity, First Amendment-wise, for a redress of grievance, what do you say to that, sir? I mean, we've really crossed a Rubicon in America when you can't, even if you're a Lynn Wood, a Sidney Powell, some of these other incredible people, you can't even deliver your evidence in a meaningful way, right?
Well, that was the case this past year. When you look at the number of lawsuits that were filed, I closely examined about 90 lawsuits. Out of those, you had 21 that had some bearing on minor issues with election fraud. And out of those 21, 14 were heard on the merits. And were actually, you know, 21 were on the merits, and 14 were ruled in favor of Trump or the GOP. But the problem is those lawsuits did not have an election outcome significance. The remaining lawsuits, upwards of 70, they did not schedule an evidentiary hearing. Yet they went out and told everyone that there's no evidence. Well, how can you say that? Well, so they used this fiction called standing and basically said you don't have standing for some legal you know, I won't curse on your channel, but it's the same token excuse, and they just didn't listen to the cases. They had two cases that they heard. One was filed by Sidney Powell, I forget the other, out of Arizona and Nevada, and they set those hearings for 1 hour. And when you see the length of the lawsuits, it's absurd to think that they would get it.
You can't even get through the first 10 pages in an hour, sir.
Well, the first lawsuit was 400 pages long.
Right.
So, yeah, you couldn't read the lawsuit, let alone have an evidentiary hearing. And then the second lawsuit on Nevada was 1,200 pages, and they set that for 1 hour.
Wow.
Yet everyone ran with a headline through the Associated Press and everyone else saying that, look, the evidence is garbage. This is compelling, compelling evidence. I've tried 160 cases to a jury. I've tried murders. I've never had a case with this kind of evidence.
David Clements, what do we do in America, though, when you know, this standing idea? I don't know how Texas or some of these other people don't have standing. Sidney Powell representing a lot of people here, having evidence. Now they're literally going against her, saying that she had no business as an attorney submitting this mock evidence, as they say, or this, you know, bogus evidence. They don't even evaluate it, but they yet then claim that she doesn't. Now they're trying to go after her and sue her or dismiss her from the bar and all these different things. At some point, how do we stop them?
Well, first, you got to consider the source. You know, the snake news is the snake news. There's a reason why in the last 2 weeks, not a single program on CNN has reached 1 million viewers, because no one trusts them. And so I don't care if a Marxist-run organization doesn't want to tell the truth about our truth tellers. And Sidney's one of our truth tellers.
No question.
So what we're seeing, courage is in short supply across the board. But what Sidney has done is she's shown a fearlessness that has inspired millions of people to take this from the court of law, which is full of cowards, to the court of public opinion. And in the court of public opinion, we're winning. The latest Rasmussen poll showed that we have 84% of Republicans now believing that the election outcome of 2020 was there was enough fraud that it could have affected the outcome. More interestingly enough, if you look at the Democrats, 34% of Democrats feel the same way.
Which is an incredible number.
Well, considering that we've been told that Biden got 81 million votes. Now, if 34% of your party don't think that you were legitimately elected, that's pretty funny when it comes to the perception that somehow this guy was more popular than Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. And no one buys it. It doesn't pass the sniff test.
We need audits in every state, no question, but it seems like Arizona is becoming ground zero, huh?
Yeah, well, it's we've gotten an audit report from Arizona. The findings were shocking. The report was watered down, unfortunately, but there's still enough there to decertify. You've got over 57,000 illegal ballots that were cast, which is more than six times the supposed margin of victory of Biden. You have mass destruction of evidence. You had 263,000 forensic images that were destroyed. So how anyone can move forward with confidence in Arizona is curious at best. But we're seeing this movement go from state to state. Maricopa was the first domino. We're still shoving on that domino because we've got deep state actors on the other side of that domino trying to keep it up. But it's just going to be a matter of time before it falls over and we the people get our government back.
They're going to lose and they know it, don't they?
Well, they will. I mean, this is really what we're talking about with a public court of public opinion is we need that emperor has no clothes moment. And the American people are starting to see our leaders as being feckless, that they don't have clothes. And as soon as we all wake up, we'll get a republic back.
All right. Tell me a little bit more about your website, The Professor's Record. What is it? TheProfessorsRecord.com?
That's right.
All right. You also have another one, ElectionEvidence.com, right?
Well, I've got different... I've got links to other evidence aggregators. So what I tell people is you don't have to take my word for it that the election was stolen. So electionevidence.com and here's theevidence.com are two evidence aggregators where you can look at affidavits yourself. You can look at expert reports yourself and make up your own mind. So I've tried to compile links all in one place at the bottom of my website page for people to do their own homework, their own research. But you can find me at theprofessorsrecord.com. And I also have a channel on Telegram, which is where I'm most active. The Professor's Record with David K. Clements.
All right, what are you working on besides election fraud? I know it's a serious issue. I know they're going to lose. It's a matter of time. More evidence. It's going to reach critical mass. When it does, things are going to change. People are just simply going to not tolerate it any longer, especially as the 22 and beyond elections come to fruition. Do you think we can get it squared away in time for the 22 elections?
We have to. There's no way to go forward unless you accurately diagnose the murder of our votes in 2020. So all of these Rhino Republicans that are talking about legislative fixes, they need to be primary. The litmus test is simple. Either you can say out loud that the election was stolen from the rightful president, Donald Trump, and you can say without shame that you're demanding a full forensic audit in your state. And if you can't say either of those things, you shouldn't hold office. And the fact that we've gone almost 11 months, almost a full calendar year from the last election, and 99.9% of our elected officials have done nothing to restore confidence tells you a lot about the deep swamp, the deep state.
Amen to that. We still don't even know who our president is, sir.
Oh, well, I know exactly who our president is.
Well, it's President Trump, but you see what I'm saying, right?
I do.
You've literally got a criminal fraudulently sworn in, and we're going to have to take action about that somehow.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to do. Each day, say a prayer, get out of bed, ask the good Lord for his will to be done, and keep moving.
You just jumped off the speaker stage, right?
I did.
And what do you have to say? Give us a thumbnail, will you?
Well, I changed the subject a little bit up there. I was asked to talk about critical race theory, which I'm comfortable talking about because as a former university professor, I've had to deal with the critical race theorist who basically tells us that our children, if they're white or male, are racist.
In every interaction, we must view through the racial lens, right?
Exactly. And I find that to be an abominable philosophy. I think it's hurtful. I think it's child abuse. And so I've been vocal against that. And so I've taken my beatings, if you will. I was fired about 3 weeks ago for not just fighting critical race theory, but also refusing to take the jab.
Yeah, good for
wear
you.
Wear a mask, refuse testing, because I have my reasons. And one of the subjects that I teach is consumer protection. So I actually know the law inside and out. And I think we have a duty as attorneys to not peddle deceptive practices and tell our students a lie just to get along at the university setting.
Sure. We appreciate your stance on it for sure. These are critical issues. The critical race theory, I have one statement to all of the critical race theorists or those who are inadvertently teaching it, not realizing it. People are doing that as well. I mean, it's permeating our society big time. I think the repercussions are going to be disastrous. Nevertheless, I think we're all God's children and we need to start to act like it.
Amen to that, brother.
I mean, that's the shortest way I can kind of really go against the critical race theorists and say, look, this isn't theory. We're all God's children, and we need to act like it.
Yeah. As an image bearer, you have inherent dignity. And when we tell someone that they're a racist for something that they can't control, that cannot be reconciled with the Word of God.
They're literally saying babies are racist. They come out racist, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, yeah, they do. I don't know if I've heard a quote, but if you take the philosophy down to its core set of beliefs, yeah, you're born as someone who carries with you this unconscious bias and racism.
The other thing that I find interesting is that really there's no way to undo your horrible status as a racist either, right?
No, you just have to flog yourself and basically tell everyone that you're more enlightened than everyone else because you admit, you know, some level of racism. It's garbage.
But at some point, though, you'll never get over it, though. You'll never be able to rectify the divide, though, right?
No, you can't, but there's a way to monetize it. So there's a lot of these people out there that are peddlers that are white, like the, I think it's, is it Robin DiAngelo, the author of White Fragility? She's a white female. And yet she has the nerve, the audacity to tell people that Martin Luther King was wrong about, you know, his We Have the Dream and living in a colorblind.
No, he's right as rain.
He's right as rain. But this white, liberal, communist, Marxist thinks she's more enlightened than him. So that's the reality that we live in. And it's you know, we have to stop giving into the lie.
David Clements, you're an attorney. Are you a doctorate professor as well?
I got my Juris Doctorate, so yes, I do have a doctorate.
So what do you do when somebody's a doctor and a lawyer both and stuff? Do you put all those initials after your names, or what do you do?
No, well, we hold a Juris Doctorate, which is a terminal degree.
It's a JD, right?
But we're so and every lawyer has a doctorate. We don't call ourselves doctor unless we're in an academic setting, because usually what happens is the real medical doctors get kind of put off. And so we typically go by counsel or esquire or just attorney this. So I don't really I don't really. I'm not really too concerned with writing out my obituary.
Do DRJD.
I don't put any of that. I just put David Clements, and if I have to put something, I'll put JD.
There you have it. All right. So do you think that a lot of your research and a lot of the evidence that you put together can be brought forth as lawsuits too? Or do you think we can nullify now in the given states? What do you think we need to do about this? Because it seems like every effort we're making, we're going nowhere, it seems.
Well, I would say in the court of public opinion, you're wrong. We are going someplace.
Okay.
And so we're holding the line and moving forth. If you would have polled the American people back in March about the election,
many of them didn't know. The new media taking center stage is having an effect, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So the enemy is platform suppression, and we're up to speed now. So we're circumventing platform suppression, and we're seeing our numbers grow in spite of the fact that we have both of our arms tied behind our backs. So this is about creating pressure on our elected officials, on our judges, and we just have to keep the pressure up until it's deafening and it's blinding. I wish I had a more profound prescription than that, but I think it's the truth.
Well, that's what the founders knew, right?
Well, it was a government of we the people. And so we're taking back our country as we the people.
All right, sir. We appreciate you and all the work that you do. Continue spreading the word, and we hope you come back soon.
I will. God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Clements. He's got a gazillion letters behind his name, but he goes by Freedom Fighter. David Clements doing a great job. His website, worthy of your review, to say the least, is theprofessorsrecord.com. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Three incredible interviews for the Week in ACT Conference. Can you believe it? With the guests that we have during the week, you know, that we're committed to, plus the interviews. Man, we've just had a struggle getting through it all. Imagine this thing happened literally days ago. What was it, on the 22nd, 23rd? We're still playing incredible interviews. And we're not even close to done. I got several more that'll play next week. All right, a recap of yesterday's show. We had on our buddy Chris Carlson. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Discussion of all things liberty, whatever. Chris Carlson's on your radio. We talked about a lesson on political science. Ivermectin is neither safe nor effective for the deep state's genocidal agenda. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Great topic. Secret documents reveal FDA had an attack on ivermectin. Dr. Joseph Mercola with that breakdown. He was at our conference. It was incredible. In the real world, ladies and gentlemen, ivermectin is a human drug that has been safely used by 3.7 billion people since the early 1990s. It was approved by the Food and Drug Administration back in 1996. And in 2016, I guess scientists received the Nobel Prize in Physiology for Medicine for their discovery of ivermectin to be used against parasitic infections in humans. It's also, by the way, on the World Health Organization's, or the WHO's, list of essential medicines for humans. So when they tell you that it's horse dewormer, horse poop, they're absolutely lying to you, ladies and gentlemen. The war on ivermectin, writes Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com, doing a great job breaking down the dishonesty as well. We talked about Rolling Stones magazine's Peter Wade published a hit piece claiming that Oklahoma emergency rooms were flat out overflowing with people overdosing on ivermectin or horse dewormer. Well, it was totally fake news. Zero Hedge and others proved it, and Rolling Stone got caught lying to the people. We also talked about several doctors are supporting ivermectin. Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, Dr. Simone Gold, Dr. Lee Merritt, Dr. Peter McCullough, and literally thousands of others have had great success using ivermectin. Frontline doctors led by Pierre Corey, Dr. Pierre Corey and others. They've also testified before Congress. Now, the interesting thing is 1 to 200 members of Congress have literally taken ivermectin, not to mention their families and their staffs. They know the truth. And you know what? The Media Research Center, led by Brent Bozell and others, is on the attack. Brent Bozell says, I am demanding Anthony Fauci be fired and even arrested. Fired and arrested for his lies. Exposing the media's lies about Fauci. The media is the only reason why Anthony Fauci is not yet behind bars, ladies and gentlemen, for lying to Congress, destroying millions of jobs, lives, and businesses. But all that's coming to an end, ladies and gentlemen. Brent Bozell. The number of people diagnosed with dementia will increase by over 40% by 2030, they say. That's the World Health Organization predicting that. That's scary stuff, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. And I wonder if the coronavirus and the vaccines have anything to do with that projection of increased dementia, et cetera, huh? We then, second hour, had on Richard Mack with us, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Richard is the founder and president of the CSPOA. He says a partnership between the citizens and local law enforcement, particularly sheriffs, is one of the great keys. The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, is the book he wrote to highlight the topic. We talked about New York facing streets without cops because of the COVID mandates. Cops don't want to take the COVID shots, and the judge shut down the union's effort to stop the shots. So now you're going to have streets without cops. That ought to make things better in society, huh? Not. Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen, releases more than 500,000 illegal aliens into the United States, many of which are flat-out hardened criminals, part of the drug cartels, part of the sex trafficking cartels, part of the slavery network around the world, and we're releasing them into America, a.k.a. Joe Biden, and, in my opinion, rogue crew, as the regime continues to abuse the citizens and protect criminals everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, we talked with Sheriff Mack about how to get more sheriffs trained to understand their oaths of office. We talked about the FBI and Nancy Pelosi blocked a real investigation into the January 6th fiasco. They don't want the truth. They don't want the 1,400 hours of video recordings released, because the truth will come out that the government was engaged in provocateur agenda to create the insurrection, they call it, on January 6th. Ladies and gentlemen, it was nothing more than a peaceful event by 99% of the people. The provocateurs of government were at the center of anything that went wrong. They don't want you to know that truth. All right, we also talked about a man got arrested for threatening to kill Congressman Matt Gaetz. I guess it turns out that he worked for multiple mainstream media outlets. So there you go. That's who they hang out with. We're a little different. We don't threaten to kill anybody, ladies and gentlemen. We also had on our guest Lee Dundas, attorney advocates for citizens' rights. LeeDundas.com, doing a phenomenal job, I might add. Our event, nationwide walk off the job, walk out of school protest rallies, ladies and gentlemen, happening all, I guess it'll be November 8th through the 11th, ladies and gentlemen, is when it'll happen. To get updates, ladies and gentlemen, you can text the word freedom to 53445. That's 53445. Text the word freedom, and you can keep up on the updates. We also talked about Los Angeles County Sheriff Alex Villanueva announced he would not enforce the county's vaccine mandates for county employees. He says, I just can't take a hit to my staff. I'm not doing it. Also, firefighters rallied on Tuesday in Beverly Hills to protest the mandate for county workers. So there you have that. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is still indeed available online. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Tell your neighbor. Live and on-demand free radio at your fingertips. All your donations will go towards growing our presence in the media. Thank you to all you who donate. And those of you who don't, please consider supporting LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.